Praise the Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So I think it's good if everyone comes closer. This makes it more easy to focus on, you know, what's being said. You can come as close as you feel comfortable. You have to do the translation? Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Another reason is people walk in, so they just walk right in the middle of you, and then you can't really focus. It's better to stay in a group. Okay. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pucharine Nirvasesa Sunyavari Pasyatya Desatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Tananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is a seminar I do. It's called Japa Workshop. And it deals with various aspects of the Holy Name, which includes the last section is a personal critique of one's own japa, with the idea of observing where one is in terms of their practice and their enthusiasm, and increasing that qualitatively according to, you know, how to fine-tune our japa. Because although we're chanting, but still there's many things that we can use to enhance the quality of our japa, which are just practical things, along with the devotional aspect, which is of course the focus. But the practical things allow the devotional to, what we say, increase. And at the same time, when Krishna sees that one is cultivating practical things in a serious way, that is in one sense devotional, because it adds to the devotion. So things that enhance the goal are also similar to the goal. So although they're practical, they're actually in one sense devotional. The Holy Name, oh, the Holy Name. The scriptures are full, saturated with glories of the Holy Name, the importance of chanting the Holy Name, the focus of the Holy Name, especially in this age. And I'll read to give a little bit of a, understanding of just some of the scriptural statements that describe the glories of the Holy Name, so we can go deeper into what we have been given in the form of this chanting. These are verses from various scriptures, and then I'll also read some statements from Prabhupada and other acharyas regarding that. Unfortunately, this seminar usually takes 3 days or 3 sessions, and I have to leave on Wednesday, so I won't be able to do a Wednesday program. But tomorrow, maybe we can do the last half, which is usually the critique of japa, which is good. That way we can get into the essence of individual improvement, which is important. This is one of my favorite verses. It's from the Padma Purana, and it describes the glories of the Holy Name. Padma Purana, out of all the Puranas, is the foremost amongst the, what we say, Puranas in the mode of goodness. Of course, when we speak of Puranas in the complete sense, Srimad Bhagavatam is the perfection of all Puranas. It's called Amalam Purana. And it's a Purana that is not within the three modes of material nature. There are 18, we say, chief Puranas, 6 for people in the mode of ignorance, 6 for people in the mode of passion, 6 for persons in the mode of goodness, and then there's Bhagavatam, which is meant for those who are transcendental. But even within the mode of goodness, there are some really tremendous, powerful Puranas. And Srila Prabhupada actually had plans to translate and give purports on the Padma Purana. That was one of his goals, unfortunately, because he left at a certain time, there were some certain things he didn't finish, and this was one of them. So this Padma Purana is really important. And here's one beautiful verse. I quote it all the time, and I give it to people by email. I'm always sending this verse out to everyone. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnya Sudha Nitya Mukta Binnatvam Nami Namino. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete and is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by any material qualities, there is no question of it being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna are identical. Identical means identical, in the sense that there is no question of, when we say, relatively identical. It's identical. It is Krishna. And in this age, Krishna appears in the form of his name. So here, this one statement, it's no less powerful than Krishna himself. In the Shikshastika prayers we say every day in our morning program, Nam Nam Akarhi Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. And in that statement, Nija Sarva Shaktis, is Lord Chaitanya, who is actually Krishna himself, who incarnated in order to bring the holy name. The holy name is so important that Krishna came personally to deliver the means for self-realization in this stage. So you can imagine, when you actually reflect on something like that, something that is as important as the practice of the bhakti, in order to show its importance and to show how to practice that, the Lord himself personally came. And that is one of the foremost principles of Lord Chaitanya's advent. He personally came to deliver and to show the glories of the Holy Name. So in that verse, Nija Sarva Shaktis means that all of Krishna's energies are found within the name. Now in that verse also, it mentions that there are many names, like Krishna, Govinda, Rama, Nrisimha. And then there are also names of God that are, what we say, there are many names of God, but they're less powerful than the name of Krishna, such as names like Brahman, or Supreme Brahman. That's another name for Krishna. He's the Supreme Brahman. He's the source of everything spiritual. He's the Supreme Brahman. Or Yogeshwara. He's the master of all mystic powers. It's a name for Krishna. One who knows all mystic powers, and those who have mystic powers are getting their mystic powers from the master, who is Yogeshwara, Krishna. So these are names of also Paramatma. We say God is also Paramatma, the supreme soul, or the soul within the heart of all living beings. So these are names of God, but they're less powerful than the Krishna name. These are called secondary names, which describe the functions of the Lord in terms of his creation and his identity within the functions. But actually, his names that are, what we say, foremost names, names that describe his relationship with his devotees, like Yasomati Nandana, the one who gives bliss to Yasoda, one who's the bliss of Mother Yasoda, or Nanda Nandana, the bliss of Nanda Maharaj, or Gokul Ananda, the one who gives bliss to the land of Gokul. or so many other names. These are what we say primary names. And the primary names have all the manifestations of the Shakti of the Absolute Truth in full. But the Krishna name is important amongst all the other names because it is the Yuga Dharma. It is the Yuga Dharma. I'll read one verse. Let's see. Unless there are many verses here. Kali Kale Nam Rupa Krishna Avatar Nama Hoite Hoi Sarva Jagat Nistura. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela 17:22. In this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. Anyone who does this is certainly delivered. So the word here is that one associates with the Lord directly through the chanting of the Lord. So sometimes we think we're chanting, and we're chanting, but we don't actually feel or experience the presence of Krishna in His name. Why? It's because it's not that Krishna is not in His name, but the example is, it's a good example too, because it really gives an understanding. There's a disease, it's called jaundice. You all heard of jaundice? Sometimes you get a little yellow in color. It usually happens. So, it's quite common in Eastern countries, Southeast Asia. People get jaundice. Here they also do, and hepatitis. But this, what happens to a person who, it's a liver disease. It's a disease of the liver. And what happens is that one cannot taste sweetness. Everything tastes bitter. But the most amazing thing in relationship to the cure is that sugar cane, or sugar, pure sugar, is a cure for jaundice. So those who have jaundice, they give them sugar cane. But the problem is, you can't taste the sweetness. It tastes bitter. Sugar cane tastes bitter. Isn't that amazing? But it's sweet. That's his actual nature. So, chanting of the holy names of the Lord is supremely perfect and sweet. But because we still are affected with the disease of jaundice, or we have this tendency still to be, what we say, covered by the material energy, the sweetness is not there. But what happens? What is the cure for jaundice? Sugar cane. So what is the cure for the disease of material, infection? We use the example infection. Material life is an infection. Infection means that there's some cure that's needed in order to bring the patient back to normal. Some kind of medicine. That's called avasadi. Avasadi is medicine. So what is the medicine? The medicine is the chanting. So one cannot experience the sweetness of the chanting because of the disease, but the cure is the same thing. It's the holy name. So the holy name, when it's chanted, is gradually curing disease. And what is that disease? Of course, material attachment or material desires. And they become purified. And then Krishna reveals himself more and more through the holy name. Like that. So these verses from the Shastras are not exaggerations or hyperboles to somehow induce one to take up the chanting. But really, they're not really factual in their description. No. They're not only factual, they're understatements. They're understatements because the glories of the holy name in Krishna himself are found within the name. to found within the name fully. And that's why Prabhupada emphasized more than anything else is chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, I'll read some more. This verse is nice. I like this verse because it really puts everything in perspective. This is also from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 7, verse number 74. Those of you who have Chaitanya Charitamrita or would like to really improve your quality of reading on the holy name, read this chapter. It's chapter 7 of Adi Lila. It is the most, the whole chapter deals with chanting of the holy name. And it's a long chapter with long purports too. Verse after verse after verse, glorification of the holy name, the practice, even some practical historical statements are given by Prabhupada in the purports. And when Prabhupada actually gave us Chaitanya Charitamrita, that was the first chapter he gave us. There's a book called Lord Chaitanya and Five Features. I don't know if you've seen that book, but in that book is chapter 7 of Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's all. That's the whole book. And that's what we had first before we got chapter 1. And chapter up from 1 to 6. We got chapter 7 first. So, just to show how the importance of chanting. And here's the verse. Nama vinu kali kale na aradam sarva mantra saranam e shastramarm. In this age of Kali, there is no religious principle other than the chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the purport of all the scriptures. Wow. Sums it up, doesn't it? I mean, just puts it right in perspective. This is the purport of all scriptures. There is no religious principle other than the chanting of the holy name. What that really means is that if you're doing so many other things in terms of spiritual practice, but you're not chanting, really, you may get some relief from some material misery, but that's about all you'll get. But the holy name itself will actually take you into the process of devotion or bhakti. It actually awakens within you attraction for the Lord. In a very, very strong way. So this is the essence. Okay. Sometimes people say, well, you know, if the glories of the holy name are so great, how come, you know, we don't find many verses in the scriptures glorifying the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? But there are. There are verses. Here's one. Kali Santara Upanishads. The Upanishads. There again, there's 108 Upanishads, and there are 12 principal Upanishads. And Kali Santara Upanishads is one of them. The verse says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Idi Sodasakam Nam Nam, Kali Kamasanasanam, Mata Parateyo Payo, Sarva Vedishu Drishite. Translation. After searching through all the Vedic literatures, one cannot find a method of religion more sublime and for this age than the chanting of the Hare Krishna, than chanting of Hare Krishna. So that's from the Kali Santara Upanishads. That these Upanishads and the Puranas, they supplement the Vedas in their essence. When we want to understand the Vedas, it's very difficult. But we go to the Puranas and the Upanishads for supplements to understand the ultimate principle of all Vedic literature. And here, these principles are being delineated nicely. And through the chanting of the holy name, there is no greater religion. Want to hear some more verses? Okay. Just to help us, here's one from... This is one of my favorite ones. I spoke this last night in the lecture. Kaleer dosanidi rajan asti eko mahagunaha kirtana eva krishnasya mukta sangha parambuja. Now in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a discussion that is going on between one king, his name is King Nimi, and nine sages. They're called the nine yogendras. And he's asking questions on various religious principles. And one of the questions he asks nine questions, each sage answers one of his questions. And one of the questions was, what is the means in this age for self-realization? So the answer is, my dear king, this is Karna Bhajana Rish, one of the nine rishis, he's answering, my dear king, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, it's an ocean of faults. Now, that statement alone is a summation, but if we really break it down, we find that there are so many, when we say problems. Sometimes people think, well, you know, we live in a good age. We have mass communication. What else? We have mass transportation. What else we have? You know, we have so many opportunities to experience other cultures and other aspects of life all around the globe, right? And we have modern medicine, and we have so many institutions for education and learning. But these are all decorations on the dead body, because the aesthetic and moral and religious values of people in Kali Yuga are very low and very poor. And generally, people can't practice religion in a real way. They do some fundamental rituals. But serious practice of religion is not found in this age, because the age is so contaminated by materialistic conceptions. And the goals of life are more or less economic development and how to enjoy the senses as much as possible. And these are contrary to the aesthetic, moral, and spiritual essence of the living being's existence. It's contrary, because a living being requires material things to keep the body and soul together, but it doesn't require material things as the goal of life. The goal of life is to awaken one's consciousness into the realm of spirituality, to understand one's relationship with the absolute principle. And this will save one from what we say, this will save one from death. This is what can actually save one from death. So he says, this Kali Yuga is an ocean of fault. And we're actually 5,109 years into Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga has been calculated as starting 5,109 years ago on February 17th. We actually have the actual date. So, and it's supposed to last 427,000 more years. So we're just getting our feet wet into Kali Yuga. And if you read the Puranas, the Vishnu Purana, the Shiva Purana, Agni Purana, and many of the other Puranas, it describes some of the social and political situations towards the end of this age. And it's like reading a horror story. This is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. And already we see such levels of degradation around the world. I mean, people are killing their own children. And people are... I mean, we don't want to go into what goes on in this world. But anyway, and this is just the beginning. And this will go... It'll actually get worse. And it's described in the 12th canto. At the end of the age, if a person lives to 20 years old, they'll be considered to be a grand old man. And then Kalki comes. Kalki is the avatar in the end of this age. And what does he do? There's no more preaching. He comes on a white horse with a sword and he just chops off the heads of all the demons. He destroys all the demons personally and then he ushers into Kali Yuga. This is the end of the age. And people will be so short in size and without any, they'll be on the level of animals. It's described in the 12th canto. If you read the 12th canto, it's the future of Kali Yuga. But one great, great, great benediction is that Lord Chaitanya has come in this age. And he's changed the age for the better. He appeared 20 years ago. This is the 520 years anniversary of Lord Chaitanya. And for the next 5,000 years, the spreading of the glories of what we say Sanatana Dharma will increase around the world for 5,000 years. He'll usher in a golden age, and that golden age will bring the whole world to a perfection of spirituality within the next 5,000 years. But then after 5,000 years, it'll start reverting back down again until. After 10,000 years, it'll all be finished, and then Kali Yuga comes in full force. So Prabhupada said, don't stay around to see. Try to go back to the spiritual world before all this stuff happens. But for these 5,000 years, in other words, the glories of Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya predicted, because Lord Chaitanya comes once. He comes once in every 1,000 yuga cycles. So a yuga cycle is 4,320,000 years. So you times that by 1,000, you get 4,320,000,000 years. Lord Chaitanya comes, and Krishna comes in this succession. Krishna comes at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, and the beginning of Kali is ushered in when he leaves, and Lord Chaitanya comes about 1500 years into Kali Yuga. And then what happens is that Kali Yuga, there's an opportunity to perfect one's life. The other 999 Kali Yugas, one can practice worshipping the Lord as Narayan, but one cannot go back to Vaikuntha. No, one cannot go back to Goloka Vrindavan. One can only reach Vaikuntha. Only when Lord Chaitanya opens up the door to Vrindavan through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is Vrindavan open. So we read the 12th canto that describes the other 999 Kali Yugas. And the 11th canto describes the features of this Kali Yuga. So we're fortunate. Lord Chaitanya's come. It's like the supreme form of mercy. Because Krishna wanted to give the ultimate principle of mercy to the world. So he came as Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya's mercy is that he doesn't make any distinctions between who's qualified and who's unqualified. Anyone who takes up this chanting of the holy names of the Lord can qualify themselves to become the greatest lover of God simply by His mercy and by this practice of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this is the verse goes on. Although Kali Yuga is an ocean of fault, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can be free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. So, Karna Bhajana Rishi is saying this is the good quality of this age. One, the word echo, asti echo, this is one good quality. In fact, this quality is so glorious that residents from the higher planets we read about the heavenly realms in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what life is there. and people have longevity of life, they have beautiful bodily features, they have very little of any material miseries, and at the same time, the level of sense gratification cannot be compared to what is here. They think our sense gratification is suffering. But it says that those of the denizens of the higher planets who are actually spiritually inclined, they look to take birth on this earth planet in order to participate in Lord Chaitanya's movement, because they know this is the fast way back to the spiritual world. Jai Sisi Kishore Kishori Ki Jai. So it's this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so glorious that even the denizens of the higher planets look for an opportunity to come to this planet to be able to partake in this movement of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because in the higher planets, although it's so materially nice, it's also difficult to practice spirituality because there's too much material enjoyment. And too much material enjoyment or too little material facilities are both a deficiency in practicing spiritual life. If one is too impoverished, too, when we say downtrodden, it's very hard for them to practice because they need the basics of life. They need food, they need clothing, they need medicine, they need education. And if those who have way beyond their means, they're intoxicated by these things. And therefore they don't see the value of taking up spiritual life with great, you know, seriousness. So too much and too little are both what we say, disqualifications. Not disqualifications. Everyone is qualified, but they are impediments to practicing spiritual life. So one has to find some basis in between and then practice spiritual life accordingly. Therefore, this earth planet is considered to be situated nicely. Because in the lower planets, people are suffering so much. In the higher planets, they're enjoying too much. But on this earth planet, it's considered to be, there's like a balance of the karma. There's enjoyment and there's suffering. But now we see the karma of the planet is changing, actually. It's changing. There's more of a dichotomy coming. There's a lot of more material enjoyment and a lot of more suffering. So the divisions are separating, but there's more of a polarization. Karma of planets change according to time and practice, of course, and according to other planetary influences. But still, this is the ideal place to take up spiritual life because there's a balance, a nice balance. Of course, oh, here's the famous one. This is the one. Krishna Varnam Tvasa Krishnam Sangopangasta Parshadam Yagnai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedha Saha. In this age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of God who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself, and he is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. So here, glorifying the incarnation of this age, Lord Chaitanya, and his mission to bring about the Sankirtan movement. Yagnai Sankirtana Prayar, which means yagna, yagya. The yagya means the means for practicing spiritual life. So yagya in this age is Sankirtan. So one who performs Sankirtan, or chanting of the holy names of the Lord, they are fulfilling the obligation of all other yogis. There's no other yogi that one has to perform. One may do other yogis, but really, it's not necessary if one is simply chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When Srila Prabhupada opened up the Krishna Balaram Temple in Vrindavan, in 1975 or 6, It actually opened on, I think, Ram Nomi in 1975. And Prabhupada did a very elaborate ceremony in Vrindavan as the opening of the temple. And he hired, not hired, but called together so many Brahmins, and they did so many pujas, they did so many vratas, they did so many mantra chantings. And Prabhupada explained that all this was not necessary. He said, we can open the temple up simply by having Sankirtan. But because we are in Vrindavan, and we are surrounded by so many various types of religious practices, and so many different priests and sages, people will not accept our temple as a bona fide temple unless we do all these other things. So he did it simply as a way to become accepted into, what we say, the entourage of Vrindavan, because that's what they're used to. But Prabhupada said, we could simply do it simply by having kirtan. Because by kirtan alone, it's everything is there. This kirtan, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the complete manifestation of the Absolute Truth. Hare represents the energies of God. It is also the internal energy. It's called Ladini Shakti, or Krishna's internal potency represented by Srimati Radharani. The word actually is Hara, H-A-R-A, but when you chant in a literary sense, it becomes Hare, because the word becomes vocative. Vocative means it's a calling. So Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this mantra is chanted in the spiritual world. It is actually the mantra for glorification in the Lord, of the Lord in the spiritual world. The Dennis Goloka Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. That the Sankirtan is coming from Golok. It's not manufactured by sages and saints on this level. It is descending from the spiritual world. And it's coming into the lives of the great saints, and the saints are giving this message as the means for self-realization, of teaching according to the scriptures like that. So Hare Krishna, Krishna represents the Absolute Truth. And then Hare Rama. Again, Hare and Rama, Sitaram, or if you like, it's Sitaram. Well, some people say Rama is Balaram, some people say Rama is Raghupati, and some people say Rama is Radhika Raman, or Krishna. Again, it depends on your particular mood of devotion. For those who are Ram Bhaktas, they chant Hare Ram, and it's the holy name reveals themselves as Rama. And for those who are Krishna Bhaktas, they're thinking Radhika Raman, and then that represents Krishna, who is the henpecked husband of Radharani. Someone who is one who gives pleasure to Radharani, Radhika Raman. Or some people actually say it's also Parasuram. So Ram refers to any of the Godhead that has the name Ram. But one can individually choose how the Maha Mantra in the Rama section relates to them. If you think of Balaram, it's Balaram. If you think of Ramchandra, it's Ramchandra. If you think of Krishna, it's Krishna. So that's the second part. But the first part refers to Krishna, of course. Now, in the scriptures, there are verses that says, it writes the mantra down, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Those of you who are first with the scriptures, you'll find it's written that way. So then again, why don't we chant like that? Why do we chant Hare Krishna first instead of Hare Ram? Well, the answer is that Lord Chaitanya brought the holy name and he chanted it that way. So following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, that's what we do. But Prabhupada said if one chants Hare Rama at first, then there's no difference. Because when you're chanting, the word, the mantras just keep going, right? And so what's first and what's second? I mean, it's just like a continuation of the sound. So one doesn't have to get too disturbed about that point. But because we are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are coming from Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, Sampradaya. Sampradaya means descending from Krishna through a particular empowered living entity. So we're coming in the light of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is our Sampradaya Acharya. We follow Lord Brahma. So in that Sampradaya also, Madhvacharya is there. And then Gaudiya refers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's predicted, Lord Chaitanya is predicted in this age as the Kali Yuga avatar. So, this verse is very important. So, the means, again, for self-realization. And it gives the identity of Lord Chaitanya. Although his complexion is not blackish, Krishna is known as Shamsundar, his complexion is black, or blackish. One black body devotee said to Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, Krishna's black." Prabhupada said, "Yes, but not like you." So it's not the black of this world. It's transcendental color. Can we understand transcendence? It's not like the colors of the rainbow. It's transcendental. It's completely above. Prabhupada said, black sometimes is not beautiful, but when you see it on Krishna, it is really beautiful. Krishna's Shama Sundar. Sundar means beautiful, beauty. So that beautiful blackish boy, Krishna. So, here it says that Lord Chaitanya, he's Krishna, but he's not black. He's actually Gauranga. Gauranga. Anga means limbs, and Gaura means golden. So he has golden limbs. His complexion is golden. And but he is Krishna himself, and he's coming in the form of his own devotees, accompanied by his associates, the residents from Vrindavan, his servants, weapons means his means for spreading Krishna consciousness, and his confidential companions, such as Lord Nityananda and Advaita, like that. He's come to give the means for self-realization in this age, this Harinam Sankirtan. Okay. There's so many wonderful verses. The verses are unlimited, as the glories of the Lord are also unlimited. Oh, one more verse, and then we'll speak on something else. We only have 5 minutes. Maybe I'll stop here. Tomorrow what I'm going to do is, although our time is limited, we're going to speak a little bit about practical aspects of chanting japa and how to improve one's own japa. And then I'm going to ask you a series of questions. And you don't have to answer them. You just write down your answers. And then by your own answers, you can evaluate what is the quality of your japa, where you can improve also. So we have, before the RT starts, we have 5 minutes. Any questions? Without chanting japa? I mean, just, there's some people who just chant kirtan, they don't chant japa. Is that what you're saying? Lord Chaitanya says you can get one other person and sit down and tap kirtan. Kirtan means at least, actually kirtan means three. If you have three people, you have a kirtan. One singing, two responding. Response section should be twice, at least twice as much as that. If you have three people, you can have kirtan. And you don't even need kartels. Lord Chaitanya said these are your kartels. You've built in. You got an ear, you got two of them. And you got a tongue. Kirtan. These are the practical aspects. So, yeah. get together with two other persons and have kirtan. Question is, what is the purpose of Pancharatri or deity worship? Pancharatri is worshipping the deity. In the previous age, that was the means for self-realization in Dwapara Yuga. But in this age, the Harinaya Sankirtan movement is sufficient in itself. But Srila Prabhupada, knowing the falling condition of the Western society, gave us deity worship in a very simplified form. What we perform as deity worship is something like 20% of the actual standard of deity worship. And just a simplified form of deity worship allows one to, what we say, develop brahminical qualities. It teaches you cleanliness, it teaches you punctuality, it teaches you to develop the qualities that are conducive to practicing spiritual life. So deity worship is for neophytes. It's for neophytes. But we need that neophyte in order to purify our consciousness so we can chant the holy names. One who is absorbed in the holy name, or tasting the holy name, there's no need for deity worship anymore. They're worshipping the deity by chanting the holy name. But in order to purify our consciousness and to free ourselves from offensive mentality, deity worship is given to us. So Prabhupada said, I've given two things, Bhagavad Dharma, Pancharatri Kirti. He said these are two transcendental tracks on the road back to Godhead. That means chanting the holy names and worshipping the deities like that. But generally, deity worship is for beginners in order to help us purify our consciousness. But those who perform deity worship in full consciousness of Krishna, then that is the perfection. But that's not the means for self-realization in this age. The means for self-realization in this age is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So deity worship must accompany the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and deity worship purifies one, which allows one to chant the holy names without offense. It allows us to see. We can't see Krishna. So Krishna appears in the form of the deity in order to accept our service. So it says, in this age, Krishna has appeared in two forms, the deity and the name. Yes, question? Okay, Sisi Kishore Kishore Kija. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Kija. So tomorrow we'll do another class, more of the glories of the holy name.